Thanks. I'll get started with a little bit of background and justification of the study here. Poultry litter is a common nutrient source used in the Southeast Kansas. And however, there are concerns in recent years that poultry litter application may increase phosphorus loss to our water bodies. And we all know that small amount of phosphorus loss from agricultural fields may not be agronomically important for producers, but that could have a significant environmental degradation or problem to the water bodies. And excessive phosphorus can create eutrophication and develop some harmful algal blooms and hypoxia, and it may also affect the human health and animal health. So there is a need to develop some best management practices for poultry litter applications to minimize the phosphorus loss to our water bodies in that part of the country. So, and we all know that we can evaluate or develop best management practices basically by two ways, either by doing the field studies or by using the computer models. So field studies are very important. They provide valuable information. And however, they are limited with the treatment comparisons and weather scenarios, and sometimes they are expensive and labor-intensive too. So the alternative way to evaluate the best management practices might be the use of daily process-based model like the APEX. So, and in addition to that, if you are using the model, then you don't have a limitations of treatment comparisons, as well as you can test for many or different weather scenarios. However, we need to keep in mind that not all the computer models are perfect. There are certain limitations, and interestingly, for even if you are using the models for calibration and validation, again you need the field study data for that. So there are certain limitations. We need to be aware of that. So based on that background, our objective was to determine the optimal timing and frequency for poultry litter applications in no-till and conventional tillage corn soybean production systems in Southeast Kansas using the APEX model. And I want to go a little bit quick on this methodology, because in the previous presentations you got a kind of what is APEX and how it works. So basically, to use a model, you have to set up the model first. So for the APEX model, we have to do the same. You need some key inputs to set up the model. You need some site-specific management data, for instances like the poultry litter application date, tillage operation date, harvesting date, etc. So you also need daily weather data for that, soil information, as well as some watershed characteristics data to get initiated. So after you have that, then the next step is to calibrate the model. So in this study, we use the data from 2005 to 2008 for the calibration, and we did a manual sensitivity analysis for that to determine the optimum value for the parameters that already discussed by Anoma and Dr. Nelson. There were five treatments, and for this study, I used one of the treatments, which was nitrogen red turkey litter applications for the calibration and as well as for the validation, and there were 26 runoff events used for the calibration. And after that, you need to do the validation. So we did the validation on there, and again, the same study site was used for the validation. We used the data from 2011 to 2013 for that, and there were 27 runoff events for the validation. So here are the model performance indicators. So we need to be confirmed before we use the model for any best management scenarios. You need to make sure like your model is doing okay or not. So on the upper table, you can see our calibration and validation statistics. Basically, we looked on the coefficient of determination, R-square, net Sutcliffe efficiency, NSE, and p-bias as our statistics for the model performance. And except for the sediment loss, for the runoff and total P, the model was, the statistics for both the calibration and validation are very decent. One of the reasons why we did not get a good calibration and validation results for the sediment is probably, again, because of the very low measured data in the site. We had, the highest was 0.2 ton per hectare per year sediment loss, so that might be the reason we didn't get a very good statistics. But based on the runoff and total phosphorus statistics, we consider this model is good to go for base management simulation. So, and after that, so we set some treatments here for base management simulation. So you can see on the table, we had 1 megagram per hectare every year, and I abbreviated that as an 1T. So from the next slides, I'll be using that, those abbreviations, so keep that in mind. So the second treatment was 2 megagram per hectare once every 2 years. Third one was 4 megagram per hectare every 4 years, which is abbreviated as 4T. And the last one was 8 megagram per hectare every 8 years, which is abbreviated as 8T. So these rates were selected based on the phosphorus rate application, and we looked on 8-year crop rotation. So on an average for that 8-year crop rotation, which was corn and soybean, so we are applying 8 megagram per hectare in 8-year rotations, or average of one ton. Per hectare per year. So in addition to that, we were also interested to look on the timings. So we look on 2 timings here, the spring and late fall. We were interested to look on how the phosphorus loss will be on November. And in, also we were interested to look on tillage. And we looked on the effect on the no-till versus the conventional tillage. And we ran the model for 100 different weather scenarios. And each weather scenario is 8 years of rotation, so I'll discuss that more in upcoming slide here. So if you look on this slide down here, 1 point represents 8 years of average of 8 years of data. So this is a 1 rotation cycle for 1 weather scenario, so which is 8 years of rotation. So we ran the model for 13 years, 5 years was a warm-up period, and 8 years was a treatment year. So we averaged that 8 years over, and that points on the earlier graph indicates the average of this year, 8 years of rotation. And it's nice to see here the model was predicting both the wet years and dry years, and if you have a wet years, you have a higher phosphorus loss, and if you have dry years, you have a lower phosphorus loss. So coming back to the same graph here, you can see here in the y-axis I have a, in one y-axis we have total phosphorus loss, in the other y-axis we have the rainfall. So each point is 8 year average of 8 years of rotation. So it's kind of interesting to look on, even you are averaging that 8 years of rotation, there are some dry spells over that rotations, and there are some wet spells over that 8 years of rotation. So if you have a wet spells within that rotations, you have a higher phosphorus loss, and if you have dry spills, you have a lower phosphorus loss. So in addition to that, I want to mention that the March application tended to have higher phosphorus loss compared to the November application. So the next one was we were interested to look on, okay, what is the average annual total phosphorus loss over that 100 weather scenarios. So each bar graph represents 800 site years of data here. Okay, so the purple one is March application, and the orange one is November application. The top one is the no-till, and the down graph is the conventional tillage. So even if you look on the average annual total phosphorus loss over 100 rotation cycle, you can see that there is not much of variability. So however, it's kind of evident that if you look on that 2T, which is 2 megagram per hectare every 2 years, tends to have lower phosphorus loss compared to the other applications. So the next question is, so looking on this data for 100 average annual total phosphorus of 100 years of rotation cycles, can we make a conclusion that, oh, okay, you can go ahead and apply 4 megagram per hectare every 4 years, or you can dump 8 megagram per hectare every 8 years. So we are interested to look on, if you just look on this data, maybe you can make that conclusion, right? There's not much difference, so maybe you can do that. But we were interested to look on more details, like what is happening there. So on the next graph right here, what we did is we averaged the application years over that 100 rotation cycles. So for for instance, for 80 or 8 megagram per hectare per 8 years, we average that each application years for 8 years and then another 8 years and like that. So you can clearly see here that the average total phosphorus loss for the application year for that 80 is really high, almost like 2 kilograms per hectare loss, right? And when you go down for the second, third, and fourth years where you have no application, the total phosphorus loss is lower. Same like the 8 megagram per hectare per year, the 4 megagram per hectare every 4 years tends to have really high peaks here, right? First year of application, after 4 years you apply it again, and there is another high peaks down there. So same for the 1 year of application down here, there are a lot of peaks coming on, and on 2 years there are a little bit of peaks on every application year. So based on this, maybe we can make a pause and make a conclusion. Okay, maybe 2 megagram per hectare every 2 years might be the best option compared to the other application. And we also look on, okay, so what is the maximum? What is the maximum amount of total phosphorus loss that can be lost in one application, in a single application, since we are applying for that whole 100 rotation cycles? So it's kind of very interesting to look on. Again, the same thing, the purple is the March application, the orange is the November application, top one is the no-till, the lower one is the conventional tillage, and you can clearly see, especially on the no-till and on March application, the maximum total phosphorus loss can go up to like 15 kilograms per hectare in one or single application. So similar to that, the 4 megagram per hectare every 4 years can or may increase your loss up to like 7.5 kilogram per hectare. So this information is very important, I think, because if your water set is very sensitive, or if your water set is connected to the sensitive water bodies, then these peaks are not, these peaks may easily create the algal bloom, so these are not advisable to use. So based on this information, so in summary, what we come up is probably 2 megagram per hectare every other year is the best management practices for poultry litter compared to the others. Other application in that 8 year corn soybean rotation, and applying poultry litter during the late fall resulted lower total phosphorus loss compared to the litter applied during the spring, and also no-till application resulted greater total phosphorus loss compared to the conventional tillage. With that, I would like to acknowledge all my co-authors who were in the first slide. I did not call their names, and I also like to acknowledge the funding agencies, KWRI, USDA, NRCS, CIG, and I'll take any questions if you have.
Okay, are there any questions?